Cool. Well, I'm going to quickly pray for you, if that's all right, Claire, and then say it to you. Lord God, we thank you for Claire. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing she is to us individually and as a church. We thank you, Lord, for her servanthood and her servant heart, and also the desires that you've put on her heart, that some of which she's now seeing, I think, flourishing of. And we just pray, Lord, that as she speaks to us tonight, that we'll get a further glimpse of, we'll catch what Claire's caught a sight of, Lord, more of your heart. So just speak through her, Lord, and help her to impart something in all of us, Lord. Speak through her, encourage her, and help us to be open to whatever you have to say to us tonight through Claire. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Paul. That was spot on. Because when you Graham mentioned, was it last week possibly, that this could be a good time to talk about Malawi before it gets so far in the distance from when I went that it might, not mean as much. I'm not quite sure. But when you look at something like one individual going away to a country like Africa, then you come back and you think, right, well, what is it that God said to me that could apply to everybody here, rather than me just standing up here with a bunch of pictures and just going, look, there I was here and here I was there, and that type of thing. So I'm hoping that in the next 10, 15 minutes or so that actually we will all leave here with something that God's going to speak to us. I'm sure we will. can we just pop up the technical, not that bit, sorry. We'll do that one in a minute. Quick. Oh. Just going to get the slides up. We're going to finish with that. Defender of his heart. There we go. Right. Team Malawi, as I called it. I'm just trying to think back if I actually let you know why I actually went on this team. But very quickly, a friend of mine, Paula, she's on there somewhere, front row, second in from the left, who used to be at New Life Lincoln, went out to be part of the Bridge Church, which is where Dwayne and Chris White run. And she was planning on going on this trip to Malawi. And she sent me a Facebook message to say, I'm planning on doing this. We'll be back in the UK after it. Can we come and stop with you, catch up? That'd be really great. P.S. Why don't you come on the team? So that was the invitation. And I would like to say that I, contemplated prayerfully and all of that. But I didn't. I shouted down to Matt, can I go? He shouts back, can't think why not, go. So that was basically the prayerful reason of why I went. So that's the team. It was a bunch of ladies, all from the Bridge Church in Texas, and then myself in the middle there. If we just move it on. What I want to do is move it to the next one, thank you. We went out particularly to do, there was going to be four things, and actually in the end the prison work moved to the end of May, so we'd actually returned home by the time that was there. But we actually did some outreaches or some programs while we were out there. And the first one that we did was a fashion show. I'm getting quite good at fashion shows now. Don't know what it is with me and fashion shows, but anyway. And there's a really big story behind this fashion show in many reasons, because it wasn't very well attended. And so there was quite a disappointment there, which I'll talk about in a minute. There was a whole relationship with the designer, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things that myself and this lady called Julie did was a back-breaking 3 and a bit hours of makeup. And I don't do makeup that well, to be fair. I know I wear it, but these ladies don't normally have makeup, so it was a big deal to them. And at first, you could get a little bit paranoid because they would giggle a lot and laugh at one another, at which point you could actually go, have I done something disastrously wrong on their face? But it wasn't there. It was their true excitement of what they actually looked like. So we did this fashion show. I'll just move it on. If you can see here, this is some of the ladies on our team actually doing the show. And there's a lady at the back. If you move on to the next one, Marie. It's the black lady in the middle that looks very Malawi and not English like us or from the States. Her name was Blue. And this whole story I did want to share with you because it was a really big deal, not only for Blue, the girl in the middle, but for one of the ladies on the team who, to me, was so inspirational. Her name was Shanna. She's an amazing lady, and she comes across so, so confident. And actually, when we sat down one evening after all of this episode happened, She actually shared that she felt completely useless as a person, completely useless as someone who could witness to somebody else and get them saved and all of that. And it was actually God used her to bring Blue to know God. And when Blue arrived at this lodge that we were staying at, she was very mouthy and lippy and used some very fruitful phrases all the time. And it was quite a bit of a, whoa, what have we come to? And as the day progressed and the second day that we were with her, she just suddenly opened up and she started asking lots of questions. Well, why on earth are you lot coming over here? What's it all about? And so ultimately what did happen was we got back after the fashion show and she went into Shanna's room and they talked for hours and she gave her life to God. And thinking about what Graham spoke about this morning, it all just materialized after that. Holy Spirit, everything was going on. She's now in a church and she's linked up with people. And, you know, it's just an amazing story. So I think for Shanna, for God to use her in that way was absolutely brilliant as well. Do you want to move it on for me? We went to, on the Sunday, two churches. Chris White spoke at the main church. It's called Trinity Church in a bigger forum. But this place is actually at the feeding centre, which you'll see in a minute. And they'd asked Paula if she would preach there. And our journey there was very eventful. But I'll talk about that in a moment. But I just wanted to share something of what this humble little place with a sort of corrugated roof, what we found. And there was only about 30 odd people there, I think. We were welcomed amazingly. We were brought down to the front to sit. There was this kind of welcome song. It was quite entertaining, really. And they clapped us and joyfully brought us in. But their enthusiasm and their passion was phenomenal. And I probably could have sat there for hours and hours and hours, to be honest. One, it's great you don't have watches, clocks or anything. So to be honest, you have no clue how long you've been there. But Paula did an amazing preach, and obviously it had to be interpreted. And she said her job was made so much easier, and I think Janet's shared this before when she's been away, by Pastor Wilson there, because his interpretation was so animated and exciting that you could, you know, you were just sat on the edge of your seat trying to grasp what they were saying. And she talked about running a race, and she was trying to think of ways of sharing this, and she got down as though she was in the blocks of of an athlete setting off, and he gets down in the blocks, and it was, you know, just so animated, and everyone got fired up for it. And I think five people on that day came forward and gave their lives to God, which was, again, it was just brilliant to be part of something that constantly God was at the center of. If you just move it to the next one. This is just outside, literally, where those two people were, Paula and the pastor. If you looked out, you'd see this. And it's actually a container. It's one of those large, huge metal containers, you know, that your shipments come in. And it was actually the original stuff that came out to make this feeding center from Joyce Meyer's Ministries. You might have heard of Joyce Meyer. And she sent this out. And I don't know how clear it is. Oh, it's doing quite well over there, isn't it? It's very good. And they're handprints, those little splodges that you see. And to stand in front of that was absolutely a privilege, really. They're all the handprints of the kids that attend this project. And they've obviously put hope at the front of it. And it's just a reminder of what God's doing on a daily basis at that place. So, and they've set this church up there because, as you can imagine, and I didn't kind of get my head around this really, that there isn't really transport, and really bicycles are limited. So it's by foot that you get everywhere. So church planting's a big deal. You know, they have to plonk them in places, you know, quite quickly so that everyone can get there. I mean, these people are happy to walk, and they do. They walk for miles and miles and miles. But this is why they've decided to put one here. And later on, I'll show you another place that they are putting one as well. So at the feeding centre, we spent a day there. It was a very humbling experience. It was the probably the time, you know, when I said, you know, I cry a lot, which I do, and I wanted to not cry a lot. I did have to, if you were the audience of these kids that you'll see in a minute, there was moments that I just kind of looked this way, gathered myself and kind of turned back, and because they know no different. You know, we're going in our culture over there, but these guys, you know, this is what they're in, day out. They don't, that's it, that's what they know, they're joyful, they're smiley, they're happy. It's just from us as kind of outside that we look in and go, I can't believe you live like this. It's just so not how we would live. But in a moment, I'll share why I think it's a great way to live. So washing hands at the feeding centre, you can't believe how much muck can come off a set of kids' hands, bless. You think that they're all right until you see what comes off. So we did this. They get their hands washed and then they get fed. What we did, the picture on the top left, as you can see, is one group that morning. And they would have had, we tried to work out, maybe 7 or 8 of that size group coming in through that morning to be fed. So on the left, that's where they come and sit. These ladies, they sing with them. They share sometimes a story. They pray the Lord's Prayer like you've never heard it before. And I was thinking of that when Andy's done the Lord's Prayer today with some of the Y Zone kids this morning. And Joel came out and said, I know the Lord's Prayer. And it just brought that memory back, because they sat exactly, if you can see, sat like that. Their eyes were tightly closed. And they just passionately recited the Lord's Prayer before going off to have their food. It was amazing. And then over on the right, this is where they move from that section. They go and get their one meal a day. It is like a protein rice type meal. It's quite thick and gloopy. It's probably very heavy, so it kind of fills them up for the day. And they go over there and they just eat it with their fingers. It is absolutely murderously hot. I couldn't actually believe how hot a meal could be. And I was passing when we were serving it out. There might be, if you move on to the next one. The top left, it's a bit hard to see. Is this massive cauldron. It is piping hot. There's coals. I felt as though half the hairs on the legs could sort of singed with the heat. And I was passing these bowls to two-year-olds and going, I wouldn't even give Joel or Lauren that kind of hot food. But they're obviously very used to it, and obviously very keen to take it, because that is it. That's their day's food. Over on the left, that's Wendy, and she's doing some sort of mashing job there. I didn't put a final picture of this, but basically they're just trying to be like a social enterprise. That is the mulching down rubbish and paper. And basically they can make their own little kind of coals or briquette type things that they can then burn. And the idea is that they will make more than what they need, so that they can actually, you know, sell them on and actually make some money. So that's what they were doing there. Right. So our first outreach was the fashion show. Our second was going off to the feeding centre for the day. And the third one, which I did mention when I stood up on the first day that I came back, was the salon days. And it's the second time that the pastors there have done these salon days. And again, part of you goes, oh, it's kind of beauty orientated. But the week before, I think we went, they'd gone into these villages cutting boys and girls' hair, because they just don't get a haircut. And likewise for this ladies, that they were using the what they call relaxants, you know, for black African hair, to try and make them straight. And they were absolutely loving it. They thought it was amazing. And they would queue up, and it went on not only the day that we were there, the following day, all the ladies continue, because they were just, I mean, I felt as though we got gate crashed at ours. There was kids on these high walls behind us, and anyone that could get in was just trying to get in. It was supposed to be on a ticket basis, but that kind of went by the window, and it was just like a free-for-all by the end of it. But this was the point I mentioned about myself trying to get out of my comfort zone, doing feet. Oh, I haven't brought that ministry back with me, I tell you. I don't still like feet. But God did something while I was there, in terms of just knowing that you have to get over some of these things that are your bugbears, really. And actually, in the scheme of things, they're completely nothing. And it was a privilege. I did sing a lot, actually. I sang while I did it because it kind of helped me along. But while we were doing this, there's another shot if you want to take it on. The most incredible bit, I think we've found out that over 90 ladies, while we were doing this, gave their lives to God. And it was just a really fantastic way of doing it. We're busy painting nails, and there's Chris White preaching, and there's people, hands up, and then there's these little booklets going round, and they're praying. And I went, what an amazing way of doing ministry. It's just like, I could do this all the time. So maybe that's what we need to do, Kirsty, at Heaven Sent, a bit of, you know, nail polishing and preach the word and get them saved. Yeah, I'll do that. These are the last couple of pictures of the salon days. I just thought it was just a really good way of doing it. We went to three different locations, and the location that I went to was one of the worst. It was really deep into the heart of a remote village, and they said that they would need to get us out by about 5 o'clock, which was when dusk started. And it probably was the only scary moment that we had, when we were followed. And Pastor Leah said, keep up with us. And we were walking fast. And then they locked us in the minibus. And to be honest, I did want to sort of shut my ears off as to what does actually happen after dusk in the area. They don't have proper civil marriages. It's more of an agreement between people to say whether you're married or not. So there's multiple women's in families and things, and girls are around, and it gets quite scary. So I was quite pleased that we did get out, but we just need to keep praying for that country and other countries like it. The next one of the main reasons of being part of this, in America, where Chris and Dwayne are, they've set up, or another guy has, you'll see it on a video in a minute, something called Water 1042. And so we were privileged as part of this trip to actually go and pray over a new well that had been done as part of this 1042 project. If you just move it on. 1042 is actually out of Matthew 1042. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And so that's where it comes from. And actually, where we were, the long way, was the first well that they've actually put in. So one down and many to come. And here is the well. This is Pastor Jamie. He's been out there for 20-odd years with his wife, Leah. They're who we went with, Links International, and now linking up with them. They had a meal with them while we were there as well, which is great. This is called The Land, and you can't quite see, but where this guy is, there's a perimeter fence just in front of him, and then down the bottom you can see a kind of white van. Well, that's the perimeter fence down the bottom. They've built this, and all they've done so far is built this fencing in, because there's a lot of theft in Malawi, so they have a watchman in a little hut there. And, I mean, he's watching not a lot, to be honest, because it's just land at the minute. But they will take whatever, and they're building some toilets down the bottom. That's holes in the floor, really. I didn't get my head in the game there. I was like, yay, toilets, plumbing. No, it's still the long drop toilets. I don't know why I thought you'd still get plumbing there, but anyway, you don't. And so they've got this, and what their plan is that there's going to be another feeding project, there's going to be a school, there's a church going to be put on there, and this is going to serve another whole different area. And like I said, with this whole walking thing, you know, they've got to put churches and feeding projects in the areas where people can get. So this will service a big area, but as it's just as money comes that they will be able to put these things together. So, what did I learn, and what is God saying? So, they're just a few snapshots, really, of the actual 9-day, 10-day experience. And I just wanted to sort of go through four things that I've just drawn out of the trip that might and hopefully mean something to you guys as well. Poor versus rich. On my day of travelling out, Kirsty nicely brought me my journal, and dutifully I wrote in this journal every night, which I'm really pleased I did actually, because you do forget an awful lot of things. And this was an entry that I did on the way to that church meeting where Paula spoke. And I'll just read it out for you. Sunday, I am sat in the minibus in the middle of a village waiting for our transfer to the church where Paula will speak. Our eyes are now open to Malawi. We have just witnessed two small children run to a man and help him with wooden benches, which they have put them on their heads and they're walking with them. It's amazing. The kids just wander around and they rummage in the trash for stuff, but they have huge smiles on them. They seem really happy with life. Although very poor, they are rich in themselves and in their community. Our minibus is being surrounded by children who just want to say hi. And I think that was it for me. I looked around and saw what these children had or didn't have, and thought back at home, all the stuff that I have in my house, and I've got all of that, and I know I have, and we all have here, we've got stuff, and yet, how rich really is my life? And then I looked at what they had, they've got trash, and yet, the smiles just came, and the joy was on their faces all the time, and I just spent maybe coming back. Is there a little way of readdressing the balance of, you know, what we've got versus, you know, what we really actually do need, and ultimately all we need is God. And the pastor, Wilson there, he used the phrase, a smile is free. And that I'll also take away with, because we can as a nation be quite negative and grumpy, if I dare to be bold. And so I just went, a smile is free. We don't have to do a lot to give out a smile, do we? Passionate about Jesus. I mean, the worship tonight has been absolutely great. And actually, I would say came close to some of what we experienced out there, which was just clunky. This isn't the clunky pianos, came close. But just the passion, glory, glory song, you know. They had a little old piano, and yet their vocals were just amazing. And you couldn't not engage. You couldn't not get on board. And we didn't even know what the words were, but you soon picked up some rambling stuff. And so I don't even know what I was singing or praising God with, but it was just amazing. And I stood there and I went, well, how does that relate? We talk about their culture and ours. I'm going, how does that relate to here? And sometimes I think this when we have the guys from Battelle here. And this was as close as I could get to sort of trying to get my head around it. And when the guys from Battelle are here and they're singing songs like You've Saved Me, you know, they know that they know that they know that God saved them because of where they were and the transformation to where they are now. And likewise in Malawi, I think that was the same. But I go, surely we might not have as such those intense and big transformations, but there surely must be a place for us to get into that kind of praise and worship, that we're kind of away with it, because we just know that that's where we need to be. So not sure how we get there, but that's one thing I'd like to sort of say. It'd be great if we can. There was a little quote that one of the guys said, and I mentioned this to Kirsty, because when she talked about Heaven Sent this morning, and we're talking about passion here. And this guy was talking about this prison outreach. And I wrote it down. Nobody else did. And I don't know whether they didn't grasp it as much as I grasped it. I'm not sure. The phrase was, when he was talking about this outreach and said, we'd like you to be involved, he said, on that day, I am available. And that was the words that he was throwing out for the congregation to sort of stand there and go, on that day, I am available. Now, you might be looking at me thinking, it's not very profound. I find it very profound for the reason, again, because we can be quite negative and go, oh, let's just check the schedule. I'm busy. Oh, how do I fit that in with the kids or with work and all that? And we tend to come off the back of it that way rather than going, I'm available and we'll work out the rest. We'll work out the peripheral things that might be messing it up. But on that day, I'm available. And they all shouted it out. So again, I'd like us to sort of take that on board, really. Mission field. We all have one. Pastor Leah was really clear, that's good, about how we came back to either the UK or the States, probably more so in the States because they're so filled with lots of things over there, culturally wise. And for not to really come back and do that whole beating yourself up, you know, running into your home and throwing everything out the front door, and going, oh dear, I shouldn't have all these possessions and all that type of thing. But to just recognise that we are really blessed to be where we are and where we've been born. And that couple, their mission field was Malawi. But where is our mission field? And it's friends, it's family, it's neighbourhood, it's community, it's work. It's all of those places that we connect. And I've been reading this book. It's taken a long time because it's quite in depth and I keep rereading bits. And it's called Making Room for Life. And the little phrase under here is trading chaotic lifestyles for connected relationships. And the bit that has really grabbed me is a chapter 11, the first church of the neighborhood, bringing church home. And when he says that, he means bringing church to where you are, to your road, to your home, to who you're connecting with. And it's an amazing page where I'm not saying that we'll do it, but they changed the whole emphasis of small groups to actually on their road because they were recognising that they were driving, which they do in the States, miles, but pretend they were driving from here down to Sutton to go to their small group, and on the journey down past, they're passing all of their neighbours, and they're out in the garden, and they're busy, and they're chatting, and they go, oh, hang on a minute, we're just moving, you know, 30 minutes down the road to go and connect with people there. And they've just driven past all these other people that they could connect with. And I'm not dismissing at all how we've got home groups who think they're great and they've got a place. But us as a family, Matt and I, have been seriously looking at how we're connecting with the people on our street. And Matt's been doing a challenge this weekend. I can confirm he has completed the challenge and he's in one piece. And he's on his journey home. All but tired. But him saying yes to this challenge has actually had a massive knock-on effect to a family on our street. And we've now started going out biking as our family and their family. And the conversations have just been amazing. And we are committed to put some time and effort in to, you know, get to know even more this family. But from him just choosing to do that challenge and then talking to Richard and getting him out on his bike, it's just been amazing. And I just want us to really have a think, where's your mission field? You know, what are you doing in your mission field? Who is it? How can I develop it more? What time and effort can I be put into it? Through your life groups as well, how can they support me in it? Even if it's prayer and just link in that way, really. But we've all got connections that we, you know, can really work on. And lastly, team, and this links with just what I've said about life groups, really, because probably I could have got an awful lot of things out of a visit, just maybe going into Derby with a team, because the team element was really, really important, and it was important because we could pray together, we could worship together. I mean, when we would get myself and Julie, who were sharing a room, we'd put on a little CD thing or iPod job, you know, and worship while we were getting ready. And it just seems so natural to just have Jesus at the centre of everything while we were there. Now, I know you are taken out of your own little world and environment, and you haven't got all of those things buzzing around, jobs to go to, people tugging at your skirt, whatever. But again, if we're learning what God is saying and what can be brought back from a trip like that, it is how, again, are we bringing Jesus into our everyday? Really naturally. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. You know, it's about the everyday. It's about how we connect with one another and how Jesus is part of that. And that's something I'd really like to encourage everybody. And me, I'm straight in there. It's you know, I'm not saying that I've done all this and got it right. So, but it is, like Dwayne said at the beginning of the year, it's that going deeper. Where are we finding the areas in our lives and with other people to just go that little bit deeper?